Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X. He will, luckily for him, I don't make things move as fast as Jeff Lebby likes to. So, you know, we got a nice, easy show. We're gonna make it happen here on Super Talk. Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday evening. If you want to join the show, you can do so on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. And, of course, we're brought to you by the good people over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. VisitVicksburg.com, my hometown. We'll be telling you about some of the great things going on in Vicksburg, Mississippi, throughout the show. Great things going on in Starkville. Saturday night, Mississippi State gets off to the start that it wanted to, 1-0. And more importantly, I think, not only for Mississippi State, but for Mississippi State fans, who had spent the entire offseason listening to Jeff Lebby talk about Showtime and listening to people talk about fast-paced offense and moving quickly, and we're going to go fast, and we're going to throw deep, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. And I'm here to tell you that there would have been a revolt in that stadium if they had let that clock go down to 15 seconds and run a check with me. That wasn't the case, though. Three plays, a minute four, 65-yard touchdown pass. It went quick. It went as promised. And Jeff Lebby delivered on that promise. And I think that was very, very important for him and for Mississippi State, because that's what Mississippi State fans wanted to see more than anything else. They wanted to see Mississippi State go out and move the football up and down the field, do so with quickness, see some of those fast receivers. And if they hadn't seen it, I'm just telling you, if State had won that game, close, low-scoring game, or if they had just won, you know, even not close, but something like 35-10, and, you know, the offense wasn't giving you that tempo that they promised, I'm here to tell you right now that it would be an angry, angry Mississippi State fan base. So they had to have what they got, and they got it. So, good. Now they've got to do it again against a much tougher opponent in a much tougher environment, against a team that, you know, a season ago was not good at all, but in week one had a very impressive performance. I don't think this Wyoming team is a world beater that Arizona State beat. I don't know that they're going to be the group of five addition to the playoff. But when you beat somebody by 41 points, when you only give up 120-some-odd yards of total offense, 70 of that on the final drive of the game, when you're around 500 yards of total offense, I mean, Arizona State's numbers were better against Wyoming than Mississippi State's were against an FCS team. So that was a very impressive win from my perspective for Arizona State. And it took a game that, you know, 2-3 weeks ago I would have said, yeah, I got State winning this game easily, to I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think State's offense is worlds better than what Wyoming had to show. And then Arizona State is much better than what the Eastern Kentucky team had to show. And State struggled at times. Gave up almost 300 yards of total offense to them. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be a game that goes back and forth and could go well into the fourth quarter with us not knowing exactly who's going to be coming out on top. And so for Jeff Lebby, I thought something he said on Monday when we talked to him in his press conference was interesting. Just the way that he phrased it. Other coaches have said this, but I don't know that I've heard this particular phrase about learning lessons in victory. You know, and that's a good point. We always think about, you know, what do you learn from a defeat, but what do you learn when you win can be even more important. And for Lebby, I think he took away that his team was able to do some of the things he wanted them to do. But they're still missing some spots there, too. I think especially when you look at the run game, they weren't very explosive there. They had the long run by Creed Whittemore. Blake Chapin had a couple of nice scrambles, but your running backs, Kevon Lee, Johnny Daniels, and then Devon Booth, didn't really give you a whole ton there. And I that was something that surprised me from a bad perspective. I don't know that I had a good surprise, to be honest with you. The stuff that I saw that was good was stuff that I expected to see. You know, I expected Chapin to look good. Maybe Chapin was a little more mobile than I gave him credit for. Maybe he was a little bit more active in the running game than I thought he would be. But not seeing an explosive play in the running game out of one of your backs was surprising. Would have had a lot more yards if Eastern Kentucky had a decent punter. That is a true story. I've never seen punts like that in my life. It looked like they were throwing the ball to Kevin Coleman. I've never seen anything like it. That's something I want to bring up, too. And if you listen to Sports Talk Mississippi and you heard the Kenny Dillingham press conference, he mentioned state special teams. Special teams were outstanding. The botched field goal aside, Hayes Hammond is an outstanding long snapper. He made one bad snap. I don't think that's going to become a habit, but they punted the ball really well. Kickoffs didn't give up a lot, any return yardage. We already talked about Kevin Coleman and what he did in the return game, 117 yards on punt returns. Yeah, State was, I think, at 450 from a total yardage perspective. They could have been well over 500 if Kevin Coleman just had a couple of fair catches. So, Jeremy in Columbia, what's up, Hey Dad? I thought State looked good on offense and special teams. Defense wasn't bad, but will be tested at Arizona State Saturday. I believe they will win 7 or 8 games this year. I'm not that optimistic yet. You know, if they go to Arizona State and play well, maybe that changes a little bit. But, I mean, when I look at State's schedule, the only team, you know, I already had them beating Florida. The only team that looked bad that I had them lose to was Texas A&M, and I mean, that's still a long way off. They can get things fixed. We'll see what happens there. Brian, I've been meaning to tell you and Robbie this for a while, and these probably go back to a podcast in the spring. The Mace store on campus has had sweet potato ice cream for years, even if Churn and Spoon doesn't. Well, there you go. Need to go get you some of that. I don't really like sweet potatoes. I'm not a big sweet potato. If anybody in Vardaman listening, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm just not a big sweet potato guy. But anyway, I thought that State's special teams were outstanding. And you know, they've been so hit or miss over the past few years. So I hope that this becomes a little bit more consistent, because I don't know how many games special teams can win you outside of kicking field goals, but they can sure as heck lose you games. And so having a great return guy, and that was something else I was concerned with, was, you know, Xavion gone, Tulu Griffin gone, who can Kevin Coleman be that guy in the return game? He looks like he can be for Mississippi State. So this game with Arizona State, I just need to see. Once I see this game, I feel like I'm going to have a really good grasp on what Mississippi State is. If they go out there and win, I'm going to feel really, really confident about their ability to go to a bowl game. If they lose, it is going to be incredibly tough to go to a bowl game if you're Mississippi State. The good news is, with Jeff Lebby, I feel like you have a coach who is willing to make the necessary changes. What do we say a lot on this show? We say it all the time on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, is there's too many coaches that would rather lose their own way than win someone else's way. I get the feeling Jeff Lebby does not ascribe to that philosophy, that he is a guy who will make changes where needs be. And I think that's what you saw from him on Saturday night, that the run game really wasn't there as much as he wanted it to be. So he figured something out and started working a little bit more. I don't think the plan was for Chapin to go that deep in the game. He went to almost the fourth quarter. But I think it's because he felt like State needed to keep throwing the football. So we'll see how that works out this weekend in the desert. Got to run block better and get more pressure on the quarterback. The pressure on the quarterback is a big deal. The run blocking, part of that is I do think Eastern Kentucky loaded up the box a little bit. But you're right. I mean, that you should be able to dominate there. The pressure on the quarterback was very, very disturbing. Disturbing is not the right word. Disappointing. Our D-line has to show up big time. You're correct. I was just surprised they weren't able to get more pressure on the quarterback in those situations. Bubba and Starkville, if they lose, it will be a long season. Huge, huge game. You're right. You're absolutely correct. I mean, this game in the Florida game, if you're 2-0 in that, you're going to go to a bowl. I would almost guarantee it. 99.8% chance of going to a bowl game. You lose that, and those odds drop probably under 50%. Now you got to find a win against A&M, Missouri, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Surely not Georgia or Texas. So you got to win these games, and this is a, it's not you, it's them kind of game. Because 2 weeks ago, like I said, Arizona State, I was like, it'd be an easy win. They looked better than I anticipated on Saturday night, and so that crowd also going to be very, very into the game. Chance to beat an SEC team at home. If you listen to Dillingham, he is imploring his fans to come to this game. So we'll see where that takes us. When we come back, I want to talk about Blake Shapen. I was very impressed. And we're going to make a comparison to him. And it might make some people mad. On both sides of the Egg Bowl aisle. But that'll be all right. But we're going to talk about Blake Shapen in just a minute. I will talk about what I saw on Saturday and what I think we can see for the rest of the year. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Madison.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. If you're not already subscribed to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I mean, what the heck, bro? Help me out. Help me out here. Subscribe now. 5 days a week, we've got Mississippi State sports. I guess we've got 6 days a week now because we've got the Thunder and Lightning, the TNL postgame live, which is also available on YouTube live after every game, which means this week. Hey, Dad, after dark. Let's go. I don't know what time that's going to happen. 1 a.m.? I'll be up if you are. Let's go. But check that out on YouTube, and then it's also available in the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Check us out 6 days a week now. We've got a Mississippi State podcast for you right here on Super Talk. Blake Shapen. Really impressed. First off, the arm strength, the accuracy, 15 of 20. There was a drop in there, so he should have been 16 of 20. The long balls to Akari. I'm sorry, not to Akari, to Coleman and to Craver. Just the command of the offense, the running ability. That's something I sold him short on. I knew he was mobile, but he looks like he can be a plus runner for Mississippi State. Now, would I have liked to have seen him maybe have a little more self-preservation? Yeah. Absolutely, I would have. But I think that you can't tell football players, hey, play it safe. Hey, take it easy. That's how you get them hurt. Let them go out there. Let them play full speed. And whatever happens, just happens. But I was very impressed with Shapen for week one. And watching him play in that game and the way that he played. And look, we're talking about an FCS opponent. I get that. But if you watch Shapen in that game and you didn't think, man, he looks like Matt Corral out there, I don't know what to tell you because he did to me. Especially the way he ran with reckless abandon. I mean, Corral, tougher than shoe leather out there. And I think Shapen has some of that in him. And if you ask I have asked him, Corral is the former quarterback that he compares Shapen the most to. And I will tell you without a moment's hesitation, if I can get that production, I will sign up right this second. And I'll tell you for sure State would be in a bowl game if they get what Corral gave Ole Miss his last 2 years there. I was very impressed with him. I thought that he was really good. I don't like it, but I can't compare Corral's first two games under Lebby to Shapen's. Shapen's going to play Eastern Kentucky and Arizona State. And if I'm correct, Ole Miss played, that was 2020. It's the COVID year. First game was against Florida, and the second game was against, is it Kentucky? It was. So the first two games were against two SEC teams. You can't really make a solid comparison there. But the way they played, the way he ran the football, the arm strength, the accuracy, there's a lot of it there. There's a lot of it there. Somebody asked me, are you about to compare Shapen to Corral? If so, Corral played with a little more reckless abandonment, but I only saw Blake play one game, so it's hard for me to compare them legitimately. The way Shapen ran the ball was what sparked that comparison for me. Bubba and Starville, as you have said over and over again, the defense is the question mark. We will know Saturday. I'm a little worried. We'll be fine on offense, going to have to score 30-plus a game. I think they have a chance to win. I think that's accurate. That's what we've been saying all year long, that State will win games in shootouts. State's not going to win another 7-3 game like they did last year. They're going to win games 35-31, things like that. And that's fine. That's fine. So I told you last week, reckless abandon. Yeah, that's what Shapen had. You know, and I think his coach is probably sort of the same as me, telling him, like, hey, we got to protect ourselves a little bit out there. But at the same time, I just don't know how you do that. You got to play the game the way it's meant to be played. So, and Cole Kublik, kind of the same thing, some of his comments. He said, you know, if they're going to get that kind of run game out of Blake Shapen, that State's going to be tough to beat. Having a running quarterback is such, it's almost a necessity in today's game of college football, unless you just have a absolute brick wall offensive line in front of the guy. But even a team that does, like Georgia, Beck can move around. Ewers can move around over at Texas. Neither one of those guys are runners, but they can move around. And I don't know if Shapen's a runner or if he's just mobile, you know? So sort of like the old football thing, are you hurt or are you injured? Are you a runner or are you mobile? Right now I think Shapen's just mobile. I'll find out in the next couple of weeks if he's a runner or not. But if he can give State 400 yards rushing, 6 or 7 touchdowns, on top of what he's going to do in the passing game, man, I feel really good. I would feel really good about Mississippi State's chances. So I was very impressed with Blake Shapen week one. What did you think? Let me know. 601-879-4395 is the C-Spire text line. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. As we know, this weekend is a very late night for us here at Mississippi State. If you're up late and you want to get scared, you can go to the ghost hunt at the McRaven. I've always heard the McRaven home was haunted, so maybe you want to go check that out. 8:30 start till 2 a.m., so you can watch the game and then show up afterwards. Conduct a paranormal investigation like you see on TV. Tickets can be purchased. Guys, this is a difficult website. Here we go. McRaven-tour-home.square.site. Yeesh. $75 ticket, but it's a full, you're getting 6 hours, 7 hours worth of entertainment here, so if you're into the paranormal, go check out the ghost hunt at McRaven this weekend. I like the swagger from Shapen. I haven't seen that from a State quarterback in a while. He reminded some of when you talk to him, he's got a little, Will was such a down home country kid, and Shapen is, not that he's a big city kid, he's from Shreveport, but he's got a little bit more of that swagger. I would agree with that. How much eligibility does he have? This is it. This is his last year. I think that State might make an attempt to get another year out of them, but it seems like it's a long shot. He played in 5 games as a freshman, and they would like to come back and say, well, he played in a postseason game, and now you can play in a postseason game, and you can redshirt. Can we get retroactive? I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't expect to see Blake Shapen here next year. He was good, but it was against a nobody. I would not judge for a few more games, but I was excited. It was exciting to see his State quarterback let it fly. I'm not telling you the guy's going to be all SEC. Just telling you I was impressed by what I saw. I don't know if he's going to be. I don't know how good he's going to be overall, but game one, he was able to deliver on. All right, here we go. Denny and Flowood, one of my favorite things that fans say. Do you think our defense didn't show anything against everything against EKU? Maybe show some packages that ASU has never seen. I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure they played it relatively vanilla. But even relatively vanilla, an SEC team should be able to dominate an FCS team. They shouldn't be allow them to pile up nearly 300 yards. So that's concerning to me from my perspective. So we'll see if that's the case. Chapin's got me wanting to see what he can do, though, in this game. And this is a good QB matchup with Levitt from Arizona State, another transfer. He was at Michigan State a year ago. He was really good in their first game as well. I think he sort of similar numbers, around 250 yards passing, around 40 yards rushing for the Arizona State quarterback. So I think this is going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be maybe it turned into a QB duel. It may turn into, you know, anything you can do, I can do better. And so in that instance, you know, and the similarities in these two teams are there. You've got two young head coaches, offensive-minded guys, transfer quarterbacks. This is their first, you know, real opportunity to show off that, hey, you know, you should be talking about me. Two teams that are picked towards the bottom of their respective conferences. There's a lot in common between Mississippi State and Arizona State, but the biggest thing in common is this. I don't know how easily either team can survive a loss in terms of wanting to go to a bowl game. Arizona State probably a little bit easier because they play their schedule is just not as difficult as Mississippi State's. They play in the Big 12. That's not a slight. That's just the truth of the matter. With State, I think their bowl odds, a win, they're close to 100. They lose, they're under 50. That is a huge. I mean, think about college football schedule. I mean, with Ole Miss, their college football playoff odds, even if they were to lose to Middle Tennessee, wouldn't drop that much. So this is a big, big game for Mississippi State. It's a big game for Jeff Lebby, and it's a big game for Blake Chapin. They got to show that they are better than the odds makers, and the odds makers do not like Mississippi State. Well, I should say that it's not that the odds makers don't. They started this game off of State as a 3.5-point underdog. The betting public does not like Mississippi State in this one. Up to 6.5 points. I think you can find it at 7 in some places. So a touchdown underdog on the road, that's tough. So we will see. I'm interested. This is one of the most interesting early season games State's played in quite some time. You know, 2 years ago when they went out to Arizona, I felt really confident in their ability to win it. I still feel confident State's going to win. But Arizona State really, really showed out last Saturday, so we'll see if they can do it again. All right, when we come back, let's talk about how important this game is and what it's going to mean for Mississippi State if they win, if they don't win, so on and so forth. We'll try to break it down game by game. Plus, I'll give you some more thoughts from Week 1 around the SEC. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
When help thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, Rhino, down there in Studio X on a Wednesday evening. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. This Monday, September the 9th, downtown cleanup day from 9 a.m. until 11 in downtown Vicksburg. Meet at Washington Street Park to spruce up for Destination Downtown. If you want to be a participant, if you want to help out cleaning up the downtown area, you need to RSVP to Natalie@visitvicksburg.com or Ashley@visitvicksburg.com. Again, that's this Monday, downtown cleanup day. A lot happening on the ceasefire text line, 601-879-4395. Let's talk about that. We've always been underestimated. I think the Dogs thrive on that. It is true that Mississippi State's best seasons have come when there have been low expectations, and some of their more disappointing ones have been when there have been high expectations. I would like to get to a point where Mississippi State can get high expectations and thrive on that, but we'll see if that ever happens. Jeremy in Columbia, State's getting 7 points at ASU. Bet the house on the Dogs. Well, you know where to go to do that. Go see our friends over at the Pearl River Resort. Smitty in Oxford, as I said last week, I really think State will go 6-6, and I now feel they can go start 4-0. Every State should sign up for that. I would take it all day. Yeah, I think, you know, what's funny is, I had State going 4-0 but finishing 6-6. So that feels like it's tough, right? You start out 4-0, you should have a lot of excitement. Okay, here we go. We're going to have a great season. To finish two out of your last eight would be tough, but this is going to be a tough year for Mississippi State. They need to, 6-6 would be a great one. Before the drive at the end of the first half, EKU had done nothing. take that drive away, and they totaled 220 yards, most of that in the second half when State was putting younger guys in. I could do that, or I could just say that they scored a touchdown on State's first team defense when they couldn't and couldn't get off the field. I mean, the numbers are what they are. I can manipulate them any way I want. By the way, it would be crazy. Oh, we can't do that. That's for the podcast. We can't do that. They didn't pay. You got to pay. You got to pay to talk here, be talked about here. Goodness. This is a massive game for Mississippi State. Massive, massive, massive. I'm trying to think, you know, in recent years, has there been an out-of-conference game that's had this much riding on it for Mississippi State? You know, you think of the past few years. 2021, they played two games against pretty good teams. They beat NC State at home, and then lost at Memphis. That NC State game was pretty important because if you remember the week before that, they had played Louisiana Tech, and they were down, 34-10, and came to come back to win, and there was a lot of, is this going to work with Mike Leach kind of thing? So they needed that NC State win, and they got it. Last year, you know, the Arizona game, but that ended up being meaningless towards the end. At Arizona a couple years ago, but not didn't have as much riding on it as this one. You know, it reminds me a lot of Moorhead's first year, and I know you don't want to hear that, but when they went to Kansas State, and that was the game I was very confident State was going to win, and they won easily. And that 31-10 scoreline is very flattering to Kansas State. State could have probably won that game by 50. They were just so much better than Kansas State on the offensive and defensive lines. And I don't know that that's the case here. I don't know that State has the physical advantage on both sides of the line the way they did a couple years ago. So, I mean, we've got to go back a long ways to find a game, you know, where from a non-conference perspective, you had this kind of weight on it. You know, maybe Mullen's first year when they played Georgia Tech and Houston, but they lost both of those games. So, I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is. But I do know that that State goes to Arizona State this weekend, 9:30 kick, ESPN, or ESPN2, I think. And I said it earlier that their chances of going to a bowl game, there's about a 50% decline if they lose this game. And that's just a huge number for me. So I don't know if I don't remember a game in recent memory that had this kind of stakes on it outside of conference play. For Mississippi State to say that their season kind of hinges on whether or not they win this game. But that's where they are. That's where they are. And for me, you know, it's kind of, you know, how am I looking at this game? What does State have to do? You know, I feel like this is going to be as hostile environments go, it's going to be one. You know, is it going to be Tiger Stadium or Bryant Denny? No, but it's going to be a raucous crowd who feels like they have an opportunity to get a historic win. Arizona State, as Kenny Dillingham told us, has never beaten an SEC school. So there's that. And whether you're playing Alabama or Vanderbilt, there's just something about saying you beat an SEC school, and everybody realizes that. I think State has to come out and really punch hard early, try to land some haymakers early, get them on the ropes, because if you can get up 7-0, 10-0 on them, then you got a chance to knock that crowd out of it and play your game. But if you fall behind, they're gonna continue to build and build and build. And a lot of that's cliched, but sometimes it's more important than the other. You know, there are some teams that you can say, okay, they can fall behind, but you feel like they can come back. I feel like State needs to get out to the really quick start, just the same way they did this past week. You know, they need to, you know, that first drive for me was special at State. Three plays over a minute, 65-yard touchdown pass. It was everything you hadn't seen the previous few years. Offense moving quickly, deep ball down the field. Jordan Mosley is a guy who's been here for 3 years, but he finally made his first big play. Heard a lot about him in fall camp. We'll see if he can deliver on that. Second drive was just more of the same. State needs that consistency early on. And then defensively, I think that you got to make a statement really early. I'm interested, you know, again, I'm not one of these guys, to go back to Denny's text, that I'm never buying the whole idea that you play vanilla against one opponent. I think you just got to play your game, and what's on film is on film. Especially, you know, later in the season. Early in the season, I can see where you're getting at that. But I would like to see a much more aggressive Mississippi State defense. I would like to see more blitzing and try to get after this quarterback, because I think he can beat you if you let him. Their running game was very impressive. This is one of the stats that I liked. Maybe liked isn't the right word, but they had 499 yards of total offense, and it's almost split directly down the middle between rushing and passing. They ran the ball very effectively. They also threw the ball very effectively. So where does State try to focus things? I think you've got to try to take away the run game from them, and you put the ball into Levitt's hands and say, if you can win, you can win. You got to try to take. I think State will be aggressive trying to stop the running game. One thing I was impressed with State's defense in was their short yardage. Third and two, third and one, they did a really good job of getting off the field in those situations where usually you can, you know, those are drive extending plays. State did a good job there. State's problem was first down, second down. But third down, they were pretty good. They were pretty good. I would put if I'm Coleman Hutzler, that's how I'm looking at that. So let's see here. Need to get the crowd out of it early from the 662. I agree with that. You could finish with last year's record and still have a much better team. It's very similar to Mullen's first year. You know, Mullen's first year, they were 5-7. The year before that, they were 4-8. But they were worlds better than what they were the year before. You could have a very similar situation, or you're correct, where you go 5-7, but you just watch them play, and you're like, man, they're so much better. And if they were playing South Carolina or Kentucky or Vanderbilt instead of Georgia and Texas, they would have another win. Beating State is not a historic win for ASU. I mean, their coach said that it would be a historic win, didn't he? He said they've never beaten an SEC team. So, I mean, that's what he said. I'm not, you know, making that up. Yeah. What's the deal on number three that he lighted up at UL last year? He was good for them. He's talking about Kevin Coleman. He was a really highly recruited kid out of high school. Was a four-star kid. Went to Jackson State. Was part of that signing class with Travis Hunter. There at Jackson State with Dion, transferred to Louisville after Dion leaves for Colorado, was good for them last year, and you know, had a really good first game, and you hope that he can build on that. I think he can be a good returner for Mississippi State, but nobody else is going to punt the ball the way that Eastern Kentucky's punter went after it. I don't think that's going to happen, but in the slot, he's going to be able to create some matchup issues for Mississippi State throughout the year. And so I think that he needs to keep stacking up games. That's the thing with State's receiver room, and I expect Kelly Akari back this week. You know, I talked about that on Monday's show, talked about it on the podcast, that everything that Levy said led me to believe that Akari would be back. So State's got a lot of guys who I don't know if they are proven playmakers, but I feel like they have that talent. They got to go out there and show it. This is a receiver room that could be one of the better ones in the SEC. It's certainly one of the better ones we've ever seen at Mississippi State, but they got to do it. And that's not where they are yet, so we'll see how that goes. All right, when we come back, I'll give you a playmaker, I'll give you my prediction, and we'll finish things up. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
One more go around here with you on Thunder and Lightning. I'm Brian Haydad. We are brought to you by the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg vicksburg.com. Check out their calendar of events on the website. It's got everything happening, including just, you know, if you're not, never mind just the big events, all the musical acts that are playing around town and stuff happening at all the casinos. You can check it out. Visit vicksburg.com/events. Other events happening this Saturday, Mississippi State and Arizona State. 9:30 kick. Those of you who are like me, and by that I mean old, it's going to be a tough day for us. We're going to have to get through this together. But we'll all be there together. And then at the end of all that, I encourage you to check out Thunder and Lightning's post-game show. We will be live on YouTube, on the Super Talk YouTube channel. If you haven't already subscribed to the Super Talk YouTube channel, do it now. You get all the great content we put out on a daily basis, but you'll also get notifications for when I go live. We'll talk for about 30 minutes after the game and describe and discuss everything that happens out there in Tempe. Playmaker? Let's just do one. We'll save the other ones for the podcast. Chapin, I'm gonna try to stay away from picking Chapin right now. I feel like that's just too obvious. How he goes is how the team is going to go. Defensively is where I really need to look, to be honest with you. So I'm going to say Trevion Williams. Williams is, to me, the most talented guy in that defensive line group. He is the guy that has the most potential, the highest ceiling. State needs him to finally become what State thought they were getting when they signed him 2 seasons ago. I came on this show, or not on this show, I came on Sports Talk Mississippi and I said, hey, he's the guy that has the most potential. Man, you know what? Now that I think about it, it may have been this show. And he's the guy who's going to be the next one in that lineage of Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, Jeff Simmons. He's the next one. Injuries have kept that from happening. Now's the time for him to start showing us what he can be. State needs a defensive lineman to become a problem so that other guys can get freed up to make plays. That's what made that 2018 defense so good. Yeah, Sweat was good, and Gary Green and Errol Thompson and the corners, they were all really good players. But having Jeff Simmons in the middle of that defense taking up 2 or 3 blockers every single play freed so much up for everybody else, and that's why they were so dominant. And I don't think that Trevion Williams is as good as Jeff Simmons, but he needs to become that 4-star offers from everybody defensive lineman that State signed back in 2022. They can get that guy this weekend, it's going to go a long, long way for State winning. S&P Plus. No, that's not a stock market thing. That's a formula for predicting games that Bill Connolly put together at ESPN. Had State winning this one by 3. He had it 28-25. I like the margin. I think there's more points, though, in this one. I think there's more points to be had between both of these two teams. I think defensively both of these teams will struggle to stop the other one. If anybody can start piling up stops, if somebody can go 2-3 drives in a row without giving up points, that team's going to win. I feel pretty confident in saying that. I've got State winning this one in a high-scoring game, 38-35. I'm going to add 10 more points on both sides of the score. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I think throughout the year when I pick State to win, the scores are going to look like that. Maybe not next week with Toledo. And then with Florida, I'm not right all the time, but man, did I feel confident that Florida was going to be bad. And I think I'm right on that one. I mean, they're having to change quarterbacks. They got an injury there with Graham Mertz. They got Samford this week, and then Texas A&M. They have a real, real chance to be 1-2 when they come to Starkville. And State has a real, real chance to be 3-0. And if that's the case, then you're going to see a Mississippi State team that, and I think that might be a really big crowd. Crowd this past weekend, it was about what I expected, to be totally honest. The rain sent some folks away there early in the first half. But, I mean, I think they announced 48. If you made me guess, I would say it's probably closer to 43, 44, something like that. That's about what I expected. You know, I think Mississippi State fans, a lot of them are in wait-and-see mode. But I will say this. I think State fans, if State can come out and win this game and win it and continue to show that the offense is going to be what it is, then maybe you have a bigger crowd for that Toledo game than I thought. Especially, it looks like the weather's getting a little bit better. Fingers crossed. Let's knock on wood. We're not false falling it up here. But, you know, next week, 6 o'clock first, you know, or 6 o'clock kick. I almost said first pitch. It is not baseball season, no matter what anybody wants to tell you. It's not baseball season. Could have a bigger crowd, maybe 50,000 plus for that Toledo game. And that would be huge for Mississippi State to continue to build momentum build excitement. And then, like I said, if they can get to 3-0 and play Florida, I really feel like they'll get that win. And then it's just, it is what it is the rest of the way. So I thought there was a lot more good than bad last Saturday. Let's see if we can say the same thing again this week. Again, Thunder and Lightning post game, as soon as I can get to the computer after the game on Saturday. Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, Thunder and Lightning podcast. We've got plenty of Mississippi State here on Super Talk. Hope you guys will seek it out and enjoy it. I'll talk to you guys again very, very soon, and certainly back here on Thunder and Lightning next week. For Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thank you for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.